called them jets.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Goddamn Jets. I'm Tom O'Boyle. With me this week is Kimberly Cantoni. Without us this week, unfortunately, is John Sabanero, who's going to be out of town. But we're coming to you live. It is draft week. We knew that even with John out of the picture, we could not miss this episode. And coming to you a little bit earlier than our scheduled time of 7:30. We wanted to get everything out and up and running for all of you, especially ahead of every playoff game that's happening in this current NBA NHL playoff format. So happy to join you really early today. And with me is our wonderful Kimberly Cantoni. Kim, how you doing?
Hey, Tom. I am doing great. It is, what a week for New York sports, right? The Knicks are up 2-0. The Rangers are on fire. And yep. Ding dong, the witch is dead. The witch is gone, sent off away. We'll get into that. But wow, what an amazing past like 72 hours for New York sports. Also, did you catch the Knicks game yesterday? The last 15 seconds is all you needed to watch. My mouth was like on the floor. I could not believe the tremendous win that they had. But it's, what a week for New York sports. Proud to be a New York, even the Mets won. Mets won a few games. So it's really looking up for us here in New York. But I'm doing good. I had a little vacation last week. As you guys know, I wasn't here last week, but I was in sunny Florida. Finally got a nice tan. Thank goodness. I was getting concerned about that. But ready for this draft. I'm super excited. How about you, Tom?
I'm good. I saw you were near my old stomping grounds over there, like Fort Lauderdale-ish, yes, Hollywood-ish.
Yeah, I was in like Hollywood, Florida for like 2 days, and then went down to Miami for the rest of the week. Was there for a really good friend's wedding. So it was nice for my husband and I to get, really this was like our first real vacation since having our son. So it's been like 19 months in the making. So it was nice to be able to get away for a little bit and kind of, you know, celebrate some amazing friends and stuff. But back in the swing of things, and what a week to come back to.
Yeah, look, it's a great time of year down there, so I'm glad you got to experience it. I was on the phone with one of the people I used to work with down there, and she was like, yeah, it's like 81 and sunny today. It's week, like, yep.
The whole week sure was like 80s, beautiful, like didn't need a jacket, like was just so nice. Got to go to the beach, got to hang out by the pool, you know, the things you don't really get to do that much here in the New York, New Jersey area until like June-ish.
No, well, look. Even with that, I think to your point earlier, this kind of week is the kind of week I wanted to come back to New York for. You know, this is the vibe and this is the energy that I missed by being down in South Florida. And look, the Miami Heat went to the NBA Finals. The Florida Panthers went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year when I was there. And it was cool for like the locals. But man, I'm here for the New York sports. I'm here for our runs. And, you know, I watched the Knicks game last night. It was insane. Watched the Ranger game last night. It was crazy. And then we wake up to this wonderful news that the witch is dead. Yes. Somehow, some way, Joe Douglas pulled a rabbit out of a, I guess, maybe not a hat, maybe like a bucket of shit, but he pulled the rabbit out.
I don't know how.
And Zach Wilson is officially no longer a New York Jet. Kim, you've been very vocal about your opinion of Zach Wilson. Please share with us your thoughts following the Zach Wilson trade to the Denver Broncos.
Can I, first of all, I just know that if my late father was still here, he would be like, it's about time. I know that my dad is like jumping up and down up there for joy. Can I be honest? I'm shocked anybody took him. And like, when you think about what the Jets got out of it and the Broncos got out of it, I mean, like, it just goes to show you that like no one really thinks that highly of Zach Wilson, to be honest. And the fact that they're like splitting the cost is like hilarious to me. The Jets were like, we will pay him. We'll pay you to go away. But listening to NFL Live from yesterday, they had said that basically this deal was signed, sealed, and delivered pretty much for a while now. They just needed to finalize that payment, what they were going to do with the final cost of everything. But I'm shocked that anyone even took him, to be honest with you, because that's what I was saying the whole time. I don't know if anybody wants him, but the fact that Sean Payton was like, yeah, we'll take him. I mean, it's not like they have a great quarterback lineup to begin with now, and they got rid of some people anyway. Hilarious that they got rid of a Wilson for Wilson. I mean, right? Like, how hilarious is that? But
yeah,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that anyone wanted him, that they even took the deal. I don't know what kind of magic Joe Douglas whipped up mixed in with Aaron Rodgers' black magic that you know he's putting out there. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that it even happened, but it was, I feel like it was a long time coming that we all said it, that Zach Wilson was not going to be sitting with the Jets this year. But wow, I can't believe they got the deal done. And you know what? I wish him all the best. But
yeah,
so long, farewell, Avita Zane. Adieu.
And we'll pop to the comments real quick. Say hi to Mark Dub. What's good, family? Jet up. It's draft week, baby. This is a big time of year, so we're excited. And the Zach Wilson news for those that are catching up and kind of hearing it for the first time, but Zach Wilson has been traded. Some of the details on the deal, the Jets will retain almost all of this cap hit on this, but they will save $2.5 million against the cap versus if they had just released him outright, which is a win, right, from Joe Douglas versus what the worst case scenario would be. Mm-hmm. And they also gain a tiny, tiny bit of draft capital. They move from the 7th round to the 6th round. With one of their draft picks, they move up about 50-ish slots or so in that 6th round. So, a decent value that they're able to pick up from that. And most importantly, Zach Wilson is no longer a Jet. And I think when you look at the way that this could have played out, if this deal wasn't lined up and ready to go, one of the worst case scenarios was you go into the draft day and Zach Wilson is still on the team. And now you're maybe not able to take a quarterback in the draft that you may want to take in a later round. And I think that's something the Jets are very obviously looking to develop is who's that third guy in the room. Right now it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Tyrod Taylor. Right. And the third guy in the room, you want to be somebody who has some talent, somebody who has some upside, and somebody you can build around potentially if Aaron Rodgers, starts when he goes to move on with the rest of his life. Zach Wilson was never going to be that guy, even if it's only because he had 1 year left on his contract, right? If he had 2 or 3 years left and you figure it out, maybe he gets better. But the die had been cast. Zach Wilson was on his way out. And now the door is open for the Jets to do something with the quarterback position.
Absolutely.
On Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday with the draft. So, Kim, if you look at this, would you rather see the Jets go and take a pick somewhere in the higher part of this draft in the first, second, third round, fourth round-ish, or mm-hmm. someone later, or maybe undrafted guy who slips through the cracks and is somebody you pick up later? I know there's a few names that are being floated out there who might become available, but is there somebody you're attached to or interested in for the Jets to maybe make a move for now that Zach is officially out the door?
I do have, on my mock draft list for, shits and giggles, Michael Pratt from Tulane I had in there as an interesting quarterback choice, but I don't know if it's worth trading up for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think it's more worth it to trade up for an offensive tackle, and I actually kind of have that on my list that we trade up for an offensive tackle because that's more of the position we need. I mean, look at Brock Purdy in that story. He was literally Mr. Irrelevant turned Super Bowl quarterback. So I feel like we can take that risk because look at our track record. And again, Zach Wilson was a flop. Again, when you look at Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, all of those were flops. And I feel like, yes, there is a solid stack of quarterback stallions. But to be honest, I don't think they will be around by the time we come into the picture. And I think it's a waste to trade up for a quarterback for us. And yes, I understand that Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old and Tyrod Taylor can only be our second string for so long. I think that it doesn't hurt to, if we can solidify our team this year and not really focus on the quarterback position, we can even look into next year's draft for a solid quarterback because we need to focus on the other issues at hand, and that's the offense. And I don't think quarterback is that position to be really focused on in this draft.
Yeah, look, I think that tracks, and I don't think the Zach Wilson trade changes that dynamic, but it's certainly a talking point that's out there right now of, is there, maybe at 10 or maybe the Jets trade up. I agree. I think we're in a position where this is, we've said a million times, this is a win now team. Yeah. This is a team that you want to win the Super Bowl this year, and the only way that can possibly happen is if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and plays every game and you give him weapons to succeed. So. Yeah. I think at most you're looking potentially in the second half of the draft. I actually really like, so my backstory on this, obviously we're not scout people. We're not tape people. We don't know, the players right. in and out. But I did an hour and a half ago read some of The Beast, from The Athletic, which is, for those that don't know, which I only recently became aware of, a massive, massive profile on every single prospect in the draft. They put it out, and it's like strengths, weaknesses, 40 times, hand size, every measurable that happens at the combine. And it gives a summary of every player. And when I looked through, I took a run through the quarterbacks just to see who was there. And you have the big names at the top, right? The Caleb Williams, you know, Drake May, and you see the J.J. McCarthy's, and those guys float out there. And they're fine. You actually mentioned Michael Pratt, and I do like, there's something about him that I like. I think it's just that he's a quarterback. He likes to throw the ball. He kind of fits an offense. And when you look at what the Jets are going to be doing, it's taking a guy and letting him sit behind Aaron Rodgers for hopefully two full seasons. And if you have a guy who can sit and learn from the best of the best, you're like, okay, then who can absorb that? Who can be the guy that's going to go and take that and take advantage of it? And I think he's a name that's pretty interesting. He's had good numbers at a small school, maybe has a little bit more time he needs to develop, but I think he fits that kind of mold of a guy who could get a lot better.
Exactly. And I feel like for him, there wouldn't be pressure to start, right? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is there. However, I feel like it's one of those stories like a Brock Purdy where, like, they're good, but, like, they're not on the radar of, like, first-round picks. But they're also – there's no pressure on this person either to have to be at a certain level. And I think that's the problem, too, is, like, I will say that – and I've always said this – that the Jets don't know how to cultivate quarterbacks. And I do feel that the Jets did fail Sam Darnold. The Jets did fail Geno Smith. However, I feel like they didn't fail Zach Wilson because they literally gave him all the tools that he needed to have and then some, where I know there are people out there saying that the Jets failed Zach Wilson too. They only failed him because they threw him into the lion's den right into his rookie season, where like other quarterbacks like, you know, Patrick Mahomes didn't play his first season. But then there's others like Joe Burrow that did and like exceeded expectations. So like for me, I feel like Zach Wilson came into this. They had expectations on him, but they didn't know how to cultivate him. And that's the problem. And like, that's my only concern with like the quarterback situation and us drafting a quarterback is that it's never really worked out for us ever. So like, and that's the thing that I'm fearful of is like looking at history and history repeating itself if we were to draft a quarterback. So I just feel like we might, at this point, I have no problem with them waiting to see what quarterbacks are left undrafted. And then going from there to see who is worth, you know, learning for. But I mean, I do have Michael Pratt on my list, pretty far down on the list as a potential quarterback to draft. But I don't think that it's a necessity to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that there's a real chance that the Jets do end up picking somebody later in the draft. And I think it's going to be one of these names. I think another name that's been floated around a lot, out of Florida State, Jordan Travis, everybody loves. He's a guy who got hurt late in the year and his tape didn't quite finish the way that you wanted it to, but he's a winner and he's going to take some development. But clearly the type of personality that I think would take well to an Aaron Rodgers. So we'll stay tuned on that. Obviously, it's tough to speculate third and fourth and fifth round or later picks to see who might fit. But I think the quarterback room now thankfully has an opening. And I think to just put a bookend on this, and I'm sure when we get John on in a couple of weeks and you know, post-draft, after we've gone through all the players, we'll probably have one more little Zach Wilson conversation for the fun of it. But
you know he's going to have to throw in one final remark.
Of course. I don't blame him for that. That's the right way to go.
Say goodbye. And then, of course, he may be a superstar in Denver, and then all of us are going to really be pissed off. So
yeah. So I have two Zach Wilson things that I wanted to touch on before we close the book on him for today. But my first was from a positive side. Is there one game or one play or one Zach Wilson story that stands out in a good way for you that you're going to remember Zach Wilson for that one thing?
Yeah, there is. And I have to say it has to be week one of this past season when Aaron Rodgers went down and knowing what people were already saying about Zach Wilson, what people were afraid of, including myself going into that game as he was running onto the field. I think the way that he remained composed under pressure and somehow got that team a win, I think for me will always be a positive. But at the end of the day, there's just so many other negatives. Like he can't handle the pressure in the pocket. You know, his lower half of his body isn't as strong. Like, he is weak in that area. His timing, he's too slow. Like, there's just so many other negatives, but for me, that is like one positive highlight. And I think it's an important one because it showed his leadership. It showed his maturity. It showed that he was able to rise above literally every single derogatory negative comment that was coming at him the moment we signed Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like for him and for me as a fan, like, I think he proved himself a lot. No, it wasn't enough to keep his seat, but I think it shut a lot of people and doubters up after that game.
Yeah, look, honestly, when I posed this question, it was one of the furthest things from my mind because of all of the drama that's happened around Zach Wilson. Yeah. But I think it's a great point. I mean, I was at that game against Buffalo, and the number of emotions that I think all the fans went through from beginning of the game to the end of the game, that they walked away with a win, is definitely, it has to be a credit to Zach Wilson. You know, you need to give him the props or the flowers, as John usually says, of like, he won them that game. And that was, for everything else, it was an emotional big victory. I'm very happy that's part of my Jets experience, was seeing that win. You know, Dan NY, who chimed in the comments as well, it's that or the Chiefs game. He was unreal out of nowhere. That's my other call. And I think that my headline for that is, how damning is it that the first game I think of for Zach Wilson is a game they lost, you know, and it's a game that they unfairly lost because, you know, there was that interception that got called back on a bogus pass interference call, but it was a game they lost. And I think that sort of sums up the Zach Wilson experience. He had this amazing game. He had really the amazing second half of that game where he came out firing. He brought them back from, you know, I think it was 15, 18 points down and brought them back to a tie game where they really did have a chance to win it if they got the ball back. And he looked like a completely different player. He was letting it rip. He was making big plays against the Super Bowl champions. And, you know, it shows the upside. It shows the ceiling that Zach Wilson has. And it gave us a lot of false hope. But that's the positive, I think, is seeing what he could have been and that tantalizing aspect. I guess the other part, too, when you look at what's going to happen, is Sean Payton is an arrogant asshole. And he's going to take Zach Wilson and think he can turn him into what his talent is. I think games like that are the ones that he's going to look to. So
I agree.
It's tough, you know, and so if we look at the other side of things, what is the Zach Wilson story that you're most looking at saying good riddance to this guy?
Well, I'm just looking forward to see how many sugar mommers he can hook up with in the area, you know. But I guess I'm looking forward to finally having a positive storyline of respect around a Jets quarterback. I think for so long, there has been so much disrespect and hate when it comes to our quarterbacks. And with Aaron Rodgers now leading the helm, I think it's finally about time. Like, he's going to be respected no matter what because of what he's done. And unfortunately for Zach Wilson, I think that it's going to be a long time before he gets any kind of respect. I feel like Geno Smith finally has respect because he's done some great things for the Seahawks as their quarterback. And I think for Zach Wilson, I feel like he's never going to get respected unless he actually does something in Denver. So I feel like, and I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, Sam Darnold's kind of just there, right? Like, I feel like that he kind of has fizzled out and really hasn't proven himself at all. And I kind of feel like it's going to be the same swan song for Zach Wilson in Denver. I just don't think that Sean Payton can do it. I mean, he had Russell Wilson, and like, it was almost like he turned Russell Wilson into this like defeated quarterback. Like, everything that we have seen him with the Seahawks, like, he won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. And it was like, Russell Wilson became a completely different quarterback. And like, who knows? Zach Wilson is now on the opposite end of that spectrum. And who knows? Maybe he can turn him into this like incredible quarterback, but I just don't see it. Yes, he has the arm talent, but I just feel like no one knows what to do with that.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. I think when I look at the thank God he's gone kind of question, I reflect back. It's that Jaguars game last year. It's the everything has gone wrong and the season has been so challenging, but you're here now and you got a chance. And this is, the play for your lives game that he was eventually replaced by Chris Trevler. Like, that was how low things had gotten. Is Zach Wilson had a chance to show up in a winnable game on Thursday Night Football to make a statement for the Jets and just completely failed. And I think that game was the one that broke the back for me of like, I don't know. I might see flashes. I might hope. I might. And as everybody who watches this show knows or listens to us knows, I'm an optimistic guy. I like to buy into the people can get better. People can improve in their jobs or whatever their careers might be. And I'm never going to rule out somebody who wants to work hard and try and do something. But that game really stands out to me as the one that's like, if you couldn't figure it out for this moment, you were missing something critical about being a successful professional athlete. And it's not the arm and it's not the ability to scramble, but it's that it factor. It's the moxie. It's the stepping up when the lights are the brightest and being able to make a play. Mm-hmm. And to not have that, it's never going to happen. If you can't do it then, you can't do it anytime in New York. And it's a shame. It's sad because we were hyped up about him coming in. It was a like, wow, look at what this kid can do with the football. But at the end of the day, it was a mistake. We would have been better off keeping Sam Darnold and drafting Jamar Chase or drafting Penei Sewell or drafting somebody else with that pick that would have still been on this team and been able to make an impact.
Yes, it's so true. And it's just one of those things that like, and this is why the Jets are laughing stocks. When it comes to things, I feel like we've made so many other successful moves, but it's the quarterback position that has been so damaging, I feel like, to the Jets organization and why we become this joke that once again, another quarterback has become a flop for us from the draft. So I'm ready for that storyline to kind of cease and desist. And that's why, too, I just feel like we either don't rush into drafting a quarterback this year or like, let's see how the cards play out and see what happens after the draft and see who's available, you know, as an undrafted free agent at that point.
Look, one of the things that's driven me crazy over the years with the Jets is them drafting a quarterback and therefore being stuck with that guy for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Christian Hackenberg. We saw it with Geno Smith. And, you know, I said this online when people are like, oh, is Zach Wilson the biggest bust of all time or the worst pick of all time? But Christian Hackenberg, because he was drafted, meant the Jets took Jamal Adams instead of Patrick Mahomes the following season because they took Hackenberg with a 2. I said, well, we have to give him time to develop. We don't need another young quarterback. And lo and behold, they pass on maybe the greatest quarterback of all time because they had Christian Hackenberg, who is undoubtedly the worst person to ever put on a Jet jersey and try to throw a football.
It's terrible. And I know, like, coming from Penn State, I know it, like, infuriates my husband that he actually got a Christian Hackenberg jersey only because he was from Penn State and he had to go to my games because I was cheering for the Jets at the time. So he had to go and he had to support me. That was, like, the one Jets jersey he was going to wear. So we do actually have that still, which is hilarious to me. It was a salute to service jersey, which is a good one. That was a solid one. But I'm ready. I'm ready for the narrative of our draft to change. And I'm ready to see finally like a Super Bowl caliber Jets team. And that's the thing. I feel like the window for that is starting to close on us because of the fact that Aaron Rodgers can only be healthy for so long. Like you said, if we have him for 2 years, we can hopefully have somebody sit behind him and watch from him for 2 years, hopefully at least. So I feel like the Super Bowl window is closing and I feel like that time is now. And I feel like that's what we need to focus on this draft. We need to focus on finalizing the weapons and protection for him. And if we can do that in this draft, and I feel like we've done at least a great job in this offseason, which I know for the three of us, we were like, what the hell are you doing, Joe? Hurry up. And literally like 2 days later, it was like, I hear you got them, Jets. Here we go. I got you something. So I feel like if we can just finalize those pieces and put the missing puzzle pieces in after this draft of what we desperately need, man, I don't care who the fuck you get off the street to be a third string quarterback. I don't care at this point. Like, get me to the Super Bowl. Get me there. Give me that Vince Lombardi trophy because our time is now.
All right. So we've done a real good job teasing out our picks for the draft and kind of where we expect this to go over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. We're about 25 minutes, so it's a little early, but I think what we'll do is we'll pop our break in here and then we'll cover the draft for the rest of this episode. Kim, I did want to comment on the fact that you have a Christian Hackenberg jersey in your closet that says Jets on it. That's a confirmed fact.
That is a confirmed fact. Like I said, it's a salute to service jersey, but it does exist. And it's in my house.
Okay. We're potentially at some point going to need to see that on the show. I don't think we can do this without John here, but I think this is one of these rare artifacts that exists in the world that, mm-hmm. like, if you have a Christian Hackenberg jersey, you have potentially the worst jersey in Jets history in your closet. I think we might need to see that.
I'm probably going to wear that. I'll probably wear that for week one. It's either in storage because I'm still at my mom's house, or it's here in this house, but I'm going to have to see if I can find it. If I can find it, that jersey is coming out.
All right. That's the task at hand. Okay. So we're about halfway through the episode. We want to spend the second half talking about the draft and really diving in on what the Jets, what we expect them to do and what wrinkles to expect maybe from that first round. This is the Goddamn Jets. I'm Tom O'Boyle with Kimberly Cantoni. We're on the Brella Sports Network and unfortunately missing our third co-host this week, John Sapanaro down in North Carolina. But we will be right back. It's a 20-second ad break and we will be with you momentarily. See you in a minute.
Goddamn Jets.
Welcome back to the second half of this week's episode of the Goddamn Jets. I am Tom O'Boyle. With me is Kimberly Cantoni. We are the Goddamn Jets on the Brella Sports Podcast Network. And we're here talking the NFL draft a little earlier than usual each week. But we wanted to get to you ahead of all the playoff games we know you're enjoying in this wonderful time of the year in April as the sun is just starting to come out a tiny bit. And we're getting to enjoy our sports in every sport, football, is in the middle of the draft season. Baseball is in full swing here in April, and then basketball and hockey playoffs are rolling. So I'm excited to join you all today. Thank you for joining us in the comments as well. We would love the participation. We know we're down a person, but it really does help the show and improve it. And while you're at it, if you're with us on YouTube or X/Twitter, and you want to give us a follow and a like, subscribe to our channel. We really much appreciate that. We have some cool stuff, I think, coming down the way in the next couple of weeks for some incentives, prizes, giveaways as well that we're really excited about, that we've been talking about. So more on that a little bit later. But before we get to that, let's talk draft. We've been, like I said before the break, teasing this for a while. The Jets, as a reminder, are the 10th overall pick currently in the NFL draft in the first round. They have traded away their second round pick as a part of the Aaron Rodgers package. Now, the downside is it sucks. You don't have your second round pick. The upside is that second round pick would have been a first round pick if we didn't put in that Aaron Rodgers gets hurt clause in the trade. So it needs to be recognized. Shout out to Joe Douglas for building that incentive in this trade, because we would be staring in the face of giving away a top 10 pick for an injured player if he didn't do it. So how about some props for Joe Douglas?
But like, also just to interject quickly, like, what black magic voodoo shit did Joe Douglas know that that even was going to happen? To be like, I'm going to sign a prenup, even though I'm convinced that this relationship is going to live on forever and ever. Amen. We've exchanged vows and rings. And who would have thought that, like, we're getting an annulment immediately because it didn't work out? Like, it's kind of insane to me.
And not only getting the annulment, but then walking immediately into a beautiful situation with the first round draft pick that you're getting, right? Not bad.
I don't know how, what kind of crystal ball medium he worked with, but the fact that he, like, made that happen and, like, as, like, just in case, break glass, mm-hmm. and we had that break glass. It's kind of insane to me, but, yeah, well done. Well done.
All right. So those of you that have been following us know that we've been all over this draft and hinted at a lot of our perspective takes and positions here. But largely, it sounds like Jets fans are falling into two camps with a third little outlier there. The two big camps are, do the Jets reinforce their offensive line, or do the Jets get a wide receiver or do something to get a wide receiver, with the little wrinkle of the hybrid guy who's right in the middle there of Brock Bowers as the tight end, who a little bit helps with an offensive line because he blocks a little bit, but also is very much on the board as a dynamic playmaker and pass catcher. And also, as an aside, one of the most mocked to the Jets players that's been out there in the mock drafts because of where the Jets are picking at 10 and where some of the other players are expected to go. So on the record, Kim, if you look at all of the mock drafts and all of the players who may become available, also understanding the Jets could trade up, they could trade back. What is your A1 scenario for the Jets as we go into Thursday on what they should be doing with their first round pick?
I think they are keeping the number 10 pick in round one, and I think they're going to go with tight end Brock Bowers because I feel like he is the Travis Kelce to our Patrick Mahomes, and he is the Gronk to our Brady. I feel like he's that kind of playmaker, and I feel like the Jets have never, ever had a tight end like that in the longest time. I just feel like he could, I feel like this player, he can do it all. I think he can block, he can catch, he can score. And I just feel like that's the move that the Jets need to do. I know even my husband does not agree with me. I will put that out there because he feels like he might be a bust. I feel like he's not going to be a bust. I feel like they've done a lot of homework in the offseason, the Jets, in tightening up the O-line. I think there is some more pieces to that O-line, which I do have in my mock, but I think the way to go is with a tight end that could be on this team for years with the Jets, and that's why I'm going with Brock Bowers.
Now, you say Brock Bowers. Do you expect the Jets to do that, or do you want the Jets to do that? There's an important thing to distinguish there. Is that your ideal pick, or is that what you think the Jets are going to end up doing, or both?
That's definitely what I want the Jets to do.
All right. Yep.
I think there's like half of me feels like the Jets are going to do it. And there's another part of me that feels like the Jets are going to go with an O-lineman. I would not be angry with either scenario. If they draft a quarterback, I'm going to break my television. If they draft anyone on the defensive side, I'm going to fucking break my television. But, like, in my heart of hearts, I feel like the Jets need to draft a solid tight end so we can put that conversation to rest, too. Because I feel like that's always been on the tip of everybody's tongue. We don't have a tight end. So I definitely 1,000% want them to draft Brock Bowers. But 50% of me feels like they're going to actually do it.
Okay, that's pretty good odds. 50% is strong. And to the point made earlier, it's been the most mocked player to the Jets. So there's a lot of backing to that sort of approach or mentality from the Jets.
Yeah.
What's exciting about Brock Bowers? He is a dynamic football player. He's the kind of guy who you get the ball in his hands and you watch him do stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the other stuff that has been out about him that's really exciting is he is a hard worker. He's a guy who is in lunch pail, bust his butt, and do something to try and do everything he can to try and make the team better and succeed. I think the Jets have built their identity that they're trying to build around guys like that. Mm-hmm. Even players who didn't necessarily work out, I think, since Joe Douglas has been here. You know, you look at some of the quarterbacks they brought in and some of the players in the back end, they've looked for leadership. They've looked for guys who can go and work captains. You know, maybe if they weren't the most athletic, I think Ashton Davis is one that stands out. He wasn't the most heralded, but everybody loved his work ethic. Everybody loved his approach. And now 3 years down the line, he's showing that he's a worthwhile football player. He's the kind of guy who developed because he was a hard worker.
Yeah.
So Brock Bowers is that. He does play a position that the Jets could use an upgrade with. And I think one of the very salient points, I don't know if that's the right word, but one of the things I read was like, okay, we all loved Bryce Hall, mm-hmm. in a really nice year. I think he was out of Rutgers and played well. But that doesn't mean you don't draft Sauce Gardner. We all like Tyler Conklin, and we all love Jeremy Ruckert. We all like Kenny Aboah and all mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you don't draft potentially the next Kittle, the next Kelce, right. if they're available.
True. Yeah.
There's always the chance to upgrade and improve guys. So that is what sells you on a guy like Brock Bowers. Now, some of the flags, some of the concerns that you'd have with that is it's a tight end, which is a tough position to project immediately to make an impact in the NFL. And, you know, we talked about, I think that the highest profile guy that we've seen recently to come into the draft was Kyle Pitts, who has all the physical attributes, has all the, you know, the tape and stuff. And I remember watching him in preseason against the Jets, and he abused whatever like corner from, you know, who now works for 7-Eleven that was playing that day. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy is good. I'm going to draft him in my fantasy league. And he was awful. He did not make an impact. And maybe he'll continue to develop, right? But I think the point on that is tight ends take some time most of the time to really make that impact. And Bowers could be a special case. He could be a guy who makes that impact right away, but it's a risk.
It is a risk.
He may not be able to make an impact day one, but if you put out your best 11, say your best 11 players in offense, that's going to include Mike Williams. That's going to include Garrett Wilson as your outside receivers. That's going to include your five offensive linemen, Tyron Smith, and Morgan Moses on the outside, AVT on the inside, Joe Tippmann, and the kid they got from the Red, Simpson. I think John Simpson was the fifth guy. Those are your five, right? Those are your five on the line, your two receivers on the outside, Aaron Rodgers underneath. You're going to have Breece Hall. And then the question is it Brock Bowers and another receiver? Is it Brock Bowers and a fullback? Like, what does that look like? Is it two tight ends? And I think you get a lot of flexibility when it's Bowers.
Right.
Whereas if you go with team one, let's say, that is offensive linemen, if you have your five best offensive linemen, one of them is sitting, and it could be your first round draft pick. So, Kim, I know you've hinted at draft pick depth for offensive tackle. What do you think to the, or what do you say to the folks that say, hey, the Jets just need depth because they have old offensive linemen who are very likely to get hurt this year?
So I think that we trade up and give up either our third round or the first fourth round, which is the number 111th pick, or both the 72nd pick and 111th for, I'm going to butcher his first name, but Fashanu from Penn State. That's like...
Is there any homer pick to the Penn State-itude of this individual?
Slightly.
Yeah.
Slightly. But I also feel like he's a solid tackle, man. What he's been doing for Penn State this year is like out of this world. And I feel like he's somebody that could go within the first two rounds. And again, we don't have that second round pick. But I feel like there are going to be wide receivers. There's going to be running backs in this draft. They're going to be available. I think by the time they get the opportunity to trade up, he's still going to be on the board. And I think he's going to be the best tackle option for the Jets.
All right. So, Kim, you have the Jets trading capital this year and maybe even stuff next year if it takes them. But you want them trading back into the first round this year for the extra tackle.
Either the first round or early second round pick.
It's a bold take, and that's one I haven't seen mocked out there. But
I haven't seen much either. But I'm like, I feel like Joe Douglas is ballsy like that. Like,
yeah,
and that's kind of like what my mentality was too going into this draft. I feel like he is so ballsy, and I also have options. Like, if we don't trade up for him, like we could also go for Zach Frazier in the third round. And then round four, that 111th pick, I either have Jalen McMillan as a wide receiver or I have Kitchens as the safety option because I don't really have a safety on my list. He's like the only safety I have. So if we don't trade up for him, I think we could go with that route. But he's ballsy. Joe Douglas is ballsy, and we've seen it happen. And I think if he was to trade – or he could trade up for one of those four names I just mentioned. It's possible.
I love the wild card aspect to this because I agree. Yeah. I think Joe Douglas has this season circled as the season where things need to happen. Because after this year, you really do start to get into some, not tough, but you start to get into tougher territory with your salary cap. And guys like Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner are 1 year closer to getting paid. And eventually that bill comes due and you can't afford everybody who's a talented superstar on your team. So you really do need to go for it now. So if that means you trade away a lot of picks to get back into the first round to fill a need, or you move up and sacrifice a lot.
Right.
There could be a reason to do that. So, real quick in the comments, I wanted to shout out Espionage 32, wide receiver or offensive tackle or trade back. And a great point here. Pitts didn't have the QB to throw to him. Not his fault. The stats don't correlate. Can't disagree with that. I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, it's the counter to the idea of, look, if you have Aaron Rodgers, everybody gets better. So if you're a good receiver, you become, you know, a very good receiver. If you're great, you become elite. If you're a decent tight end prospect and you have Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball and focusing on you, you could have a big year. You can win rookie of the year just because you have Aaron Rodgers, let alone if the talent is there. So it's a great point. I think if you look at it holistically, the Jets do have a few holes they need to fill. And if you look into the rest of the draft, Kim, you mentioned safety. I think defensive tackle is another one that we've heard a little bit as well.
Yeah.
The scary part about this is these are now, again, defensive positions that the Jets are talking about drafting. And if there's one thing we've seen the Jets do far too much of in our lives across the board, it is spend draft picks on the defensive side of the football. So how comfortable are you with making picks like safety or defensive tackle, knowing how bad the offense has been for our entire lives?
I don't feel good, Tom. I don't feel good. No, I don't, because that's the puzzle piece. I feel like if he's not going to trade up at all, you gotta use your first three picks on offense. You have to. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, that is the biggest problem. Our defense is one of the top defenses in the league. We are fine. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I feel like he's got to focus on that offense. Yes, he's done some work in the offseason, but it's not enough. This draft, you have to focus on because you have to also think about the future. And I feel like our defense is set up for success for at least the next 10 years, in my opinion. But I feel like this offense is off to a good start, but you need to put an exclamation point on that offense, and it's not going to happen unless you pick them up here in the draft.
Yeah, I think that when we talked about it weeks ago, my take was you use every single pick on the offensive side of the football, and you promise that you're going to use every single pick next year on the offensive side of the football, because that's how much it needs help. Now, that's silly, right? That's not realistic to approach it in that way. But I think that if that's your North Star, it at least helps shape the conversation in a way that is putting it where if you're going to take a safety, it better be a damn good safety. It better be a damn good defensive tackle later in the draft. Obviously, the first round is out. The second round, if we trade back into it, I think that would be out for a defensive player. And I wouldn't touch the third round for a defensive player either, unless it's a late third into fourth into fifth, where it kind of becomes a crapshoot with those players anyway. But if I look into the rest of the team, if we say that the number one need is offensive tackle and wide receiver, take your pick, pick your poison as to which one is the bigger need. After that, when you look at the defensive side of the football, I think tackle, I think safety, and I think a linebacker in the middle, because CJ Mosley is getting a little bit older, all have some value to look into if there's a player with some upside.
Right. I agree with that, but I feel like you got to use those picks on the offensive lineman. You got to see what the best option is out there, especially if you're not going to trade in and you're going to use those other rounds. I don't know. I just feel like they got to trade up for a solid offensive tackle. I do. I don't know why. My gut is just saying he's going in. He's trading in for, like, he's going into either the first round. He might go into the first round again for, like, the best offensive tackle or offensive lineman that's out there. And that's like Joe Douglas. Like, he'll do it. Or into early second round pick. I'm not sure, like, what the best route map is, but I feel like go get your guy at number 10 and then work your magic with what else you can give up. But I feel like this draft needs to be an offensive focused draft.
All right. So I've done a lot of, all right, I don't know. Let's see. I've been hedging. I'll give you my two scenario. I'll give you my, like, what I think the Jets will do.
Yeah.
And I'll give you my what I hope the Jets do in this situation. So what I think the Jets will do is the prudent move. And I think it'll work too. Like, Joe Douglas has done so well with these, especially since the Sauce Gardner draft. Mm-hmm. I think the Jets end up trading down. I do think that they're at 10. I think there will be something that happens in the draft that a team gets excited for and wants to move up. And you will recoup a second round pick. So now you have a first, you have a second again. You slot a couple of picks back. And I think with that first pick, the kid from Penn State, I have him being the guy. I think that's the person they end up taking with that first pick. A little bit of development required, but if you said week one, you need somebody to step in to play offensive tackle because someone got hurt, he could do it.
Yeah.
And he could be a guy who's on your team for a long time. And I think it's that right balance between a safe pick, but a pick that can help your team this year and help you win a Super Bowl without being too boring or too useless.
Yeah.
And then by trading back, I think in the second round, they do take a wide receiver. I think there's somebody who slips. There's a lot of talent at the receiver position in this draft. The name I like, and I don't know if he'll fall, but the name I really like is Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Everything I've seen about him, and he's obviously not the number one guy on his team, but
right.
He runs routes really well and he's fast. He had a good 40 time in the combine. The fact that he runs routes well to me screams Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And it's the type of person where you don't have to, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is special. Odunze is special. Neighbors is special. They're in their own tier. And guys like Thomas, you take a step down and they're not quite the same player.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take that player and you give them Aaron Rodgers, they get a hell of a lot closer to that special player than I think a lot of other people would. So if you tell me the way the Jets will attack this,
yeah,
I think that's how they're going to see it. They're going to see, look, get me a talented wide receiver. Doesn't have to be the best guy, but get me somebody who has talent and give me Aaron Rodgers and let's see what they can do.
Yeah.
And on top of that, now we've used our first round pick on somebody who can be our insurance for the offensive line. So that's what I feel like that's Joe Douglas's MO. I think that's the prudent move. We had Laurie on last week while you were out. And I think that was the, like, just be smart, guys. Do the right thing and don't do anything crazy and use what you have to your advantage. The Jets are in a position where they don't have to draft and reach for a need. You know, how many times do we watch the Jets drafts? Like, well, they got to take a linebacker here because they literally don't have a linebacker. So we're drafting Jonathan Vilma. And he turned out to be pretty good, but I don't know, maybe there was a player who could have been more impactful if we had a linebacker already.
Right.
So they had the luxury this year of saying, look, let's take the best player who's going to make an impact, and there could be a trade down here, I think, that's going to go and hopefully set them up. So I think that's what the Jets will do.
I think for me, what stuck out was insurance. I feel like that's the key word in this draft is insurance. We need a guarantee. We need someone that's going to be able to start, but also be able to be a good backup in the case of emergency. And I feel like insurance, that's like the key word here, especially when you look at round one or like an early round pick, you're looking for insurance. I think that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Now the other part of the insurance may come in after the draft as well. There's been a lot of rumors about David Bakhtiari being linked to sign with the Jets to be the backup to Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, and just, he's Aaron Rodgers' boy.
Yeah.
So there's the argument that he may be that insurance and then you don't need to do it. But at the same time, David Bakhtiari is hurt all the time too. So just because other guys get hurt doesn't mean he won't too.
Right. Exactly. I kind of like that insurance policy too. That's why I just feel like too, we don't need anyone at quarterback. We don't need to draft. Bye. Again, it doesn't work. Don't do it. I like that insurance policy too. That way you're kind of set in stone. Let's just get through this season around Aaron Rodgers, giving him what he needs, the protection he needs, the weapons he needs, the insurance he needs to get this team to a Super Bowl. It's happening. It's happening this year, guys. Put it in the universe.
All right. So what I hope the Jets do, I'll give you my other side to this here.
Yes.
I want to go crazy. I want them to have an insane moment in the draft, and I want them to set this up to be the most, like, top-end heavy, like, A-plus prospect thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want the Jets to do is do whatever it takes to move up to 4 and draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Whoa!
And if that means next year's first-round pick, I genuinely don't care. We weren't supposed to have this year's first round pick anyway,
right?
Because of the Aaron Rodgers trade.
Right.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. is a player who will walk in on day one and be a starting caliber Pro Bowl talent without any help or coaching or assistance.
Mm-hmm.
If you get him some help and coaching and assistance, he can be special. And you put special with Garrett Wilson, who is special already, and Aaron Rodgers, who is special. Like, you are now just building blue chip talent across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Just go for it. Just go for the best players you can get and give up the capital and and say, you know, forget the torpedoes. Let's just do it. Let's go after the guy. So what I want to see them do is take that big ass home run swing and close your eyes and swing as hard as you can and see if you can hit it out of the park, because the upside for that is, I think, best team in the AFC. I think that is best team in the AFC, chance to win a Super Bowl. And that's not to discount any of the other things we've talked about. I think the Jets can still be the AFC champion, can still be the favorite coming out potentially in the league after the draft. But that's the one that I feel like has the best chance of being the holy shit. I don't want to play the Jets ever, because they have so many weapons and they have Aaron Rodgers and they have the best defense in football. And goddamn, I can't wait until I don't have them on my schedule. That's what I want teams to feel like.
Yeah.
And I think if Marvin Harrison's there, you like, you kind of feel that way, don't you?
Oh my God. Like I thought I was ballsy making my predictions. Holy shit, Tom, you definitely like one-upped me on that one. But again, like Joe Douglas is crazy enough to do these things. Yep. Like, this is a scenario that would not surprise me if it actually happened, because he makes shit happen. I don't know what he does, but like, he's done ballsy things like this before. So this is not that far out there of a thing to put out in the universe, because if anyone could do it, it's Joe Douglas for sure.
If you have him and Mike Williams on the outside and you play Garrett Wilson out of the slot, he will dominate any nickel corner in football. Yeah. And look, maybe it's wishful thinking. Mark Dubb, appreciate you. Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm with it. I think we're all with it. And
it's in the universe now.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it is the like go for it kind of a move. Yeah. It's the kind of thing that the Rams would do, right? And I use the Rams as an example a lot because they also went all in. They said, all right, we're pushing all our chips. Mm-hmm. Fuck them draft picks was the quote that was associated with the Rams for the longest time.
Yeah.
And they use it to bring in veteran players, right? They brought in corners and you know, Ndamukong Suh and these players to go in and strengthen their team. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a rookie on a rookie contract and will step in and be here for at least four seasons with Garrett Wilson, with Aaron Rodgers. That's not even just a win now move where you're like getting a guy who's going to be gone or out of the league in a year or two. That's getting a guy who's on the ascent and going up from day one. I'm for it, guys. Let's just go for it and try to get the best players possible.
That, and that's what you need to do. Can you put up Mark Dubb's comment that just came in that he said, yeah, that one. I agree, Mark. That's right. You have to speak things into existence. And that's, as Mark Dubb says, it's definitely in the universe now, Kim. It's up and it's stuck. And that's how I feel. Like, speak it into existence. I'm a big into that mantra shit and everything like that. But speak it into existence. Because what's the worst thing that happens? Like, it doesn't happen, you know? But if you don't put it out there in the universe, it's there now.
Look, I'm for it. There's some power to it. I think... I honestly often think about how on this show, when we talked about, you know, how the Jets season was going to play out last year, I threw out the like, well, what if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt or what if he gets, and I said it, I remember saying week one, like, okay, what happens if week one he goes down? You know, what do they do? He has a season ending injury. I'm like, yeah, that would suck. And then lo and behold, it happened. So
it happened.
I'm being very intentional about how I'm framing these things. And I think it's worthwhile, right? Even if it's just for fun, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. It makes you feel a part of things. I think the Jets need to take a big swing here. I think they shouldn't sit on their hands and go like, maybe this pick, maybe 10 falls our way. Dude, go for it. If you like a guy who is available at 8 and you can trade up and it doesn't cost you that much, do it. If there's a deal on the table for Marvin Harrison Jr., go do it. Take the big swing and go for it, because this has to be the year. This is the year that it's all coming together. Take your shot.
I agree. You have nothing to lose at this point, because I feel like we lost it all last season, right? Right as week one started, after that fourth snap, we lost everything. There's literally nothing else to lose, because we know what it's like to lose it all. So why not go big? Go big.
All right. So we're hours away now from the NFL draft, and we're going to get to see who's right, who's wrong, and how the Jets universe starts to shake out here. I would say a couple of things here. Be sure to follow us, because I think we're going to be very engaged on social media in the next couple of days leading into the draft and as picks happen. So you have Kim's handle there, mine as well, at John Sapanaro. The three of us are going to be very engaged online. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, excited to announce, we had speculated with this, but I'm just going to throw it out on the internet and make it live. The Jets have a first round pick that's coming. It might be Marvin Harrison Jr. It might be Brock Bowers. It might be Joe Alt. It might be, I don't know. But whoever the first pick of the Jets draft is going to be, if you participate with us in social media, we are going to send a jersey of that player with us. So here's the deal. You need to follow us. You need to retweet this. And you need to go and tell us who that pick is going to be. And if you get that pick right, we will pick one person who gets that pick right and send them a jersey. So we're doing a little bit more work. We're trying to build out our socials, and we're excited. We love the participation we get from you guys. We want to do something fun for you and really celebrate and get excited about this season. So get the word out there. We'll send it all up on Twitter and social media as well, so you can see it and share it out there. But we need people to follow. We need you to retweet and like and love and all that stuff, and let people know about the show. And then let us know who you think the pick is going to be. And if you nail it, we're going to hook you up with something.
I think that's great. I mean, I would be in, right? But I'm ineligible to compete in this contest. But
I mean, I never said that. You know, we're kind of just making this up on the fly. So I guess, Kim, you could be eligible if we wanted to go that road and make it really, like, shady, where you guys just promote us and then we give it to ourselves.
Never.
Like so many YouTubers out there.
No, I think it's a sweet deal. You know, yeah. I think it's a sweet deal, guys. And, like, spread the word. Get us out there. You know, again, as Tom said, we appreciate all the love, support, the likes, the comments, everything, and following us for the last couple of years. But hey, guys, we're only going up from here. So it's a big week, and I feel it in my heart. It's a big season for us, guys. It's a big one.
Yeah, we're taking it off on the right foot, and we're ready to go. Kim, do you have any final thoughts you wanted to share with us before the draft as we go into draft day?
Man, I just, you know, I think it sums it up. This draft is going to set the tone for the season. I think we need to, as you said, swing big, go for the rafters, and just not knock it out of the park, as you said so eloquently, Tom. I think it's going to set the tone, and I think that Joe Douglas knows exactly what routes he's going to take based on what happens. I think he knows exactly what he's going to do, and I think he's going to make us Jet fans proud. So I can't wait to see it unfold. I will be on a flight to Colorado Springs as the draft kicks off, but hopefully I won't miss too much of it. But I am excited to see how it all unfolds. I really am. And it's truly going to set the tone. And I hope it sets the tone for a championship season.
Hey, listen, you know, we've got an exciting week coming up. Like we said, all the New York sports that are happening, we're gonna have to juggle probably a little bit to get all our draft coverage in, but it's an exciting time. And, you know, my mentality for the Jets: don't play scared, go for the win. Go for the big play. Try to make it happen. If it doesn't work, you figure out another way. But I think that's the Jets mentality. I think that's that all gas, no brake that probably got overdone a little bit. Let's go for it. Let's have a big year. So with that, we thank you for joining us today on this beautiful Tuesday, April 23rd, for another episode of the Goddamn Jets. We're excited to have the NFL draft this week. And make sure to follow us. We'll share that information out. I'm Tom O'Boyle. This is Kimberly Cantoni. This is the Goddamn Jets. They're part of the Brella Sports Network. We will see you next time. Peace.
Who do you want to win?
The Goddamn Jets.